Good morning. Today is Monday, the 15th of November, first day of Christmas. According to one of our stations. Joining us this morning from Redwood Capital Bank is Jennifer Budway. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
Yes, it started 8 hours ago.
Really?
100% Christmas on 95.5, yeah.
Wow. They don't even wait till Thanksgiving.
I was in there rocking around the Christmas tree. Well, and that's one of the challenges, right? When do you start?
Yeah.
When my brother had the Hallmark store here in Eureka, it was, he would get those collectible, the series, 1991, and then you get 1992 and 93. And they would be released by Hallmark in the early June. So they were on the shelves mid-June. Sold out by early August.
Wow.
Some people would complain, how come you have it out already? Because people want it.
Yeah.
So why are we? Because people want it.
Well, and I think especially this year, because everything you're hearing, because they can't get the products on the shelves. And so they're all saying, do your shopping early. And so. Yeah.
Or buy a barge.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah, 1 of 100, take your
potluck,
choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, good deal going on right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what Black Friday looks like this year.
What, everybody's been breaking it the last 2 or 3 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Black Friday specials, well, it's not Friday, and, if you've already made your money, okay, that's cool if you're into the profit side of things. But, yeah, it's a little bizarro.
It is, and like you said, if the demand's there, they're going to do it, so.
I think consumers are always there to save money. Just an observation I've made over the years.
Very clever observation.
Yeah, pretty astute, huh?
Yes,
that's
you
why,
are.
That's why I'm in radio and you're in banking. Oh, gee. Are you ready for your question?
I'm ready.
All right, now we can do a question about questions. You want to do that?
That sounds kind of deep, but give it a whirl.
Okay. Why is the question mark used to indicate a question? The grammatical.
Mm-hmm. I have nothing.
You didn't take Latin in high school?
No, I did not.
That's the one class I wish I would have taken when I was going through Eureka High. I don't know if they still offer it.
Do you know the answer to this question?
Not without reading it, no.
Okay.
But I'm about to sound very intelligent about that.
Okay.
At one time, questions in Latin were indicated by following them with the word questio, the Latin word for question. This was obviously too cumbersome to work for very long, so it was soon abbreviated to QO. But those letters were frequently mistaken for part of the last word in the question, so it was next decided to write them one over the other, stacked. That worked and was retained, but that symbol soon deteriorated to what we have today, the question mark. If it was visual, you could do that. The question mark with the circle underneath.
Right.
It. Yeah, that's what it evolved into, and then the dot instead of the circle.
Huh. Well, now we know.
Probably tough to do typewriting in the old days, right? Setting the print or the letters.
Oh, right.
You didn't prepare for this, did you?
Well, no, I was just thinking, that made me think back when I was in high school, and we had, remember those typewriters where they weren't electric yet? And so they were manual, so you had to put really hard on the letters.
Crown Royals?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's how you build up your pinkies.
Oh, and then sometimes you'd miss the key and your finger would slide in, and then pulling it back out
or
was
jam.
A little painful.
Three at a time, yeah.
And then if you made a typo, then
that's
you had
teed me off.
Yeah, just so much work.
Then eraser
so
paper.
Time.
Remember the erasable paper?
Yeah, that was kind of a big deal.
And
when
then Selectrics came out.
Yeah.
And I was always very jealous of those that could go vroom.
Like really fast?
Oh, 150 words a minute kind of thing. Just rock and roll flying. Yeah. You were one?
I was the geek, yeah.
You were able to do that?
Oh, I was all about the timed rights in high school. I always wanted to.
I could never get the next to the little finger
to
go down on the low bar or the low rung.
Well, the electrics came out. I'm dating myself right now, so the electrics came out right when I was in high school.
Okay.
So those had just come out. And then computers were starting to come out when I was a senior in high school, but I would say it wasn't until I was in college when they really became a big thing and started using them about my junior year in college.
The only thing I had with computers was I had to write a small program when I was at Doane for a year. So that'd be my senior year in college.
Uh-huh.
Colon, da-da, then, if, then, da-da. got a rip-roaring solid C. Ooh. And I had a 3.9 when I was back there, so you can imagine my delight in that class.
Ooh, got your GPA down a touch.
Yeah, well, that's okay. It didn't matter. I came back home afterwards. So.
Yeah, I do remember, was it COBOL? That was the same thing in college. I had to write programming, and, I mean, it was so over my head. Oh, same thing. I struggled in that class.
I sat in the class. It was an older fellow who just loved it. I said, if I'm successful, don't I hire people to do this? It's kind of like using a calculator. What, you know, if you need to use those functions, why would you do it by longhand and take 25 times as long and have 25 chances to make mistakes instead of just doing it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's called learn your tools, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't use a handsaw either. That argument didn't go too far. Maybe that's why I got a C. Good and argumentative dialogue.
I was gonna say, but you not had a B until you brought that up with
them. Yeah. Crashed and burned when you challenged the teacher. Oh, boy. Are the inflation numbers that are coming out, are those worrisome for you?
You know, it's really interesting. So on the news this morning, Janet Yellen was talking about those, and she feels very strongly that once COVID gets under control, that our inflation numbers are going to come down. The one piece in that equation that concerns me a little bit is the cost of employment. So because of all of the challenges with getting employees, and the employers are really struggling across the board to get employees, retain employees. And so I think they're having to pay more for both to get them and retain them. And so when you put that into the equation, that's something that's not going to go down. So those are going to be, so I'm just going to use this example. Say you had an employee who was making $15 an hour, and now to be able to even hire people with what In-N-Out Burger's paying, now you're having to pay $16, $17 an hour just to get new employees. Well, you're going to have to increase that $15 an hour employee up, because when you're bringing in new people, you can't bring them in really higher than your existing staff. So,
well, that's in California. Now let's go to the Midwest, where minimum wage is significantly less, and people were starting at $7, $8, and now they're hiring at $15.
Right.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Join Warren Eckstein on KINS in the 6 o'clock hour as he explains pet behaviors, different fun facts, tips, and all sorts of info about your animals and the way they think and act.
Here are just some of the things that kids learn when they have pets in their life.
If you're an animal lover, this is absolutely the program you need to hear.
You know, vocalizations are a very important part of animal communication and their language. Hi, this is Warren Eckstein. Hear my daily pet tip weekdays on KINS FM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Jennifer Budwig from Redwood Capital Bank. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about cost of labor and some of the actions that are having to be taken by businesses to maintain employment as well as to attract new employees. What was it, 5 years ago maybe, McDonald's started doing the automation? Mm-hmm. Where you would tap in and do your own, and that was supposed to help offset labor costs because they were having a tough time, and as well as the escalation of the costs themselves. I would suspect a lot of businesses are looking at that, and maybe some of those decisions before that weren't viable are now starting to become a lot more viable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got them there, and the cost of operating may not be nearly as much as it is individuals.
Yeah, that's probably a fair statement, because you also have that in terms of cost and viability, but also offsetting that is the advancements of technology, because it's happening so quickly that there's going to be more viable options in going forward. But it does take a while to get those things implemented.
And the culture to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, I don't think most of us want to have our food pop up at the table through a chute and boom, there it is, instead of having it delivered by a waiter or waitress.
A real person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But what's interesting, too, I was at a conference last week, and one of the speakers was saying that, in his opinion, that with COVID, it technologically advanced us about 3 to 5 years. And what he was meaning by that was that people were being forced to use technology that they typically wouldn't. So the whole thing was Zoom and the whole thing with, as an example.
So it was a community push. It wasn't the technology itself having to advance. It was the adaptation and embracing using of it.
Yeah, people being forced to use it that necessarily wouldn't have otherwise. And so those, like our generation or older.
Me,
So
Mr. Cobalt.
You and me. People that are more resistant to it and don't necessarily want to use technology, now all of a sudden they were being forced to. So, instead of going into their bank, they're not comfortable with that because of COVID. And we had a lot of banks locally that were closed.
Do you guys seen a number count decline in foot traffic, for lack of a better term?
I would say slightly, but...
Okay, so a little bit.
But very slightly. We didn't really close. Our Henderson Center branch, we had closed for about a month, but that's only because we had our Eureka Main branch open. And then our Fortuna lobby closed for a bit because they have the drive-through. But aside from that, we were open business as usual. But we had a pretty significant increase in, new accounts due to...
Right, you had the balance of the other guys closing down.
Lot of new customers. So there was that was somewhat of an offset.
Isn't that the weirdest thing, though, is that it's really difficult. If you go back 5 years, there is no five-year average.
Mm-mm.
2 years ago, it was something. Last 2 years has been something different. Right now is even different yet again. So to try to develop those five-year trends... lots of luck.
And that's continuing to shorten. Yeah, and will continue to shorten.
So when you're looking at potential loans,
mm-hmm.
Okay, here comes Papstein through the door, other than shock and awe and the normal response of, oh, gosh, okay. How do I put together a pro forma for a projection, let's say, whether it's a new business or an existing business to expand? Where do we go to find that information? Where do you go to confirm or to feel comfortable that this is real and just isn't manufactured?
Well, I think a big part of that is understanding where the numbers are coming from a projection standpoint. But there's a lot of industry data out there to support it. But, of course, that's all historical. And so part of that's just judgment and subjectivity in terms of what the feasibility of those projections are based upon the supporting documentation or any ideas behind where the numbers are coming from. So just kind of breaking that down and having an understanding of where it's coming from.
And where you're going.
And where we're going. I know.
This whole concept of scarcity economy is really intriguing. In the past, it's been too expensive to get. Right? Price point decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Not you can't get it decisions. The computer chips, I guess, were the first ones
mm-hmm.
with the automotive industry and the gaming industry. And now it's so widespread. It's interesting. What are your folks saying? Are they maybe finding new products, different products to use if they're in the service industry? How are they kind of working through some of those challenges that we see as consumers,
mm-hmm.
but that they're having to deal with as business operators?
Definitely having to just explore different options. Like before, maybe they had a supplier that they got something from consistently, and all of a sudden that supplier is not able to provide it to them, so they're having to look elsewhere. And it's across the board. But in terms of just creativity, are there other options they can use instead of what they've been using historically? I think that's the whole thing with COVID in general is so many people have had to think outside the box and how to be creative and how to maybe figure out how to do business differently and going forward on a lot of different levels. So
I wonder if this is what our grandparents dealt with psychologically during the Depression?
Probably.
Different, but kind of parallel. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information. Time is 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Jennifer Budwig from Redwood Capital. The scarcity economy is one thing that's kind of a bit of a challenge, but the cost of the green economy is, I think, starting to land. We just heard an update about going into the oil reserves. Well, we were in energy independent this time last year. Okay, blaming OPEC. Oh, come on, to quote somebody. Come on, et cetera, et cetera. Do you sense that the financial community is seeing a lot of these additional costs piling on? You guys have got a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
but if it's tougher and tougher to qualify for, I mean, have some more. I mean, it's not going to make any difference. Are the standards, are you guys as an industry going to be forced to reduce the standards for loans, to accept more risk for loans? I mean, there seems to be the big hand of government in a lot of areas.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it in real estate. You sense we're going to be seeing a return to that also?
Well, I think with the green piece of it, it kind of ties into no different than the inflationary aspect of it, where if you're going to have to incur a lot more costs to comply with environmental regulations, regardless of what those might look like, then the only way that you're going to continue to survive is you have to increase the cost of your products or services. You got to make it up on the top line. So that's
With Amazon and so many of these other platforms that are out there that are available, that are able to, with massive volume, keep their costs down, that drives out more business.
Well, I mean, and that's
it kind of seems like it's a, I don't know, if not a catch-22, but maybe somebody's nailing your foot down and you're just running harder and your circle is more defined as you keep running in it and running in it and running in it.
Right, right. In that, yeah. I mean, you are right. And I think that's in part one of the differentiations between California versus the federal. Because on the federal level, if those are imposed, then it's going to be competitive across the board, right? Because everyone has to comply with those. But if it's more state and those additional costs are having to be incurred to comply with state things that other states don't require, then you have that playing field that's unlevel. And that's where it does get really difficult. And that's no different when we saw the minimum wage increase. So they stair-stepped that from $10 to $15, a dollar a year for 5 years. And there was definitely some of our businesses, even locally, that were really having some challenges with that because they were selling into other states. And so it's really hard to compete with another state when they're
if their labor costs are a third less
eight,
of what yours
$8
are.
An hour or whatever, yeah. $9 an hour or whatever that looks like. Yeah, so you're right off the top, you're paying $4 or $5 more an hour for your labor. So, of course, you have to charge more for your products. So how do you compete with that? And then it's also that international tie. You know, we've got some locally that internationally sell. And so same thing goes. It's like now all of a sudden they're not as competitive as they had been. And if you're talking about a business that's on pretty thin margins to start with, that can make the difference as whether they're going to survive or not.
Yeah, doors open, doors closed.
Yeah. And then it comes back to what you were saying. It's like, okay, then you have to look at other ways to cut costs. And does that mean that, you know, labor is a huge cost? So does that mean you try to automate to supplement that?
Yeah, it's certainly a dynamic period, mm-hmm. with all of these different elements that are in there. Do people understand how to do the workarounds? Do you think? I have a theory that when you get into a panic mode, you're not thinking as clearly as you need to be to get out of that situation. Well, that's a real easy downward spiral, unless you've got folks you can reach out to, you know, to kind of help balance things out a little bit. Do you sense that there's more networking going on, either local businesses or within your industry, to get those different perspectives so that if you are dealing with a specific situation, well, there's probably hundreds of businesses that have already dealt with it,
mm-hmm.
to reach out and find out what their best solution was or best mm-hmm. practice, depending on what your industry is. Are you getting that kind of a feedback loop from some of the folks you work with?
Yeah, I would say definitely. It does feel like there's, and that's a fine line too, because sometimes those are your biggest competitors. And so to be coming together to work together might be a very different dynamic than historically.
Or illegal, price fixing.
Yeah, versus just, you know, kind of more idea sharing and, you know, how are you guys dealing with this and what are you doing with that? And, you know, a lot of them are also trying to attract the same employees. And so, you know, you're only wanting to share so much information. But like this conference.
Yeah, you need a geographical spread.
Yeah. And so, you know, you might have a restaurant here. Well, maybe they're not necessarily working with the other local restaurants, but maybe they're working with
somebody in Wyoming.
Yeah, or yeah. Even the Bay Area. Or right. It doesn't have necessarily that direct competition. But it does feel like that. It does feel like there's a lot of people who are trying to. Because this whole idea of having to sort of recreate your business and what's going to work, not only getting through the pandemic, but in the future, because a lot of that nobody knows. We don't know what things are going to look like in a year. We don't know what things are going to look like in 2 years. And
you have no target. There's no target out there.
No,
to shoot
it's
for.
Not linear yeah. at all. And so, you know, I think the trying to keep an open mind and look at those regularly in terms of how to. You know, weave and bob through those difficult times is really important, and those are the ones that are gonna survive it.
Weave and bob, not bob and weave.
No, weave and bob.
I've that's funny. I've never heard it.
I think
it.
I might have said that backwards.
No. I mean, you know, it's the same thing, right? I've never heard it that way. That's cool. One of the challenges I think that's kind of a hidden one, and I suspect this is probably why I'm as much in favor of a consumption tax across the board as I am, is the hidden costs. Okay, we got labor. Everybody's pretty much familiar with labor. Gas and transportation costs. I mean, it's compounded. It's over and over. We see it at the gas pump when we go and fill up ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But there's the fuel to get the raw materials, to make the product, and then get the product to market, and then the market to us, and then us to get to that location to be able to buy it. I mean, there's so many of these things that look like it's just going to drive inflation further and further up. And I'm curious how the comment was made that this is temporary.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I don't see a lot of this stuff as being temporary unless there's something significant that goes on.
Yeah, and it may end up just being somewhat of a balance. So you had, you know, what your baseline product costs were prior to the pandemic, and then now maybe they've gone up 50%. Well, it could be that they settle out at maybe 25% over pre-pandemic levels as some of those things come down a bit. But I just can't imagine that there's not going to be some. There's got to be some permanent inflation in there. I just don't know how there couldn't be.
Mm-hmm. Grocery store cost of food.
Yeah.
You know, you got the labor in the fields. Okay. You got the transportation cost, labor associated with the delivery of those, as well as the gas. You've got now what the new requirements for the trucks
mm-hmm.
that are doing the delivering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like every variable along the way seems to be more and more costly.
And the fuel, you're right, the fuel is such a driver of that. And, you know, gas prices being what they are has continued. That would be one of those where I think that a big require, you know, that's led to a lot of the inflation. But that can come down under the presumption that's the whole supply and demand issue. But So if that were to come down, because those fluctuate every day, right? And you do have the ability at the pump to, it goes up and it goes down. So that definitely would have room to come down under the presumption everything leading up to that does come down. Otherwise, it may continue to go up. But that's going to be, I think, one of the, that is a huge driver of inflation, and especially for everything on the shelf as to why it's so much higher.
Well, and for the rural communities. Yeah, maybe the metropolitans where you're next door to the distribution center.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not so much. But, you know, we're, what, 250 miles away from, or 200 miles certainly away from Santa Rosa and distribution centers.
Right.
Or Redding. You know, so the little guys, the rurals, I would think we're going to bear the brunt of a lot of this stuff, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always been pretty expensive to live here, and that's only
See, I knew we were going to get to Straight and Richardson's Grove. I knew we were going there. KINS, news and information time, it's 8:45.
Hey, folks, flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly on American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS. News and information times, 8:50. We've got a couple minutes left with Jennifer this morning. What's your walkaway of where we are now? I mean, are there canaries that you're looking at that go, yeah, okay, things are turning, things are doing better. Uh-oh, we got issues. Because we still have got, here local, we've got the housing pressures that are starting to happen now. Certainly, there's going to be more. There's going to be more need for retail and services in our area as Humboldt State and the fiber optics and the fish and all that stuff starts happening. Are we ready? Are we systemically ready? Are we government ready for this stuff to come to town and to, you know, get us into the vibrant economy mode?
Yeah, I would say that we're not ready at this point. But having said that, it does seem like there's a lot of people coming together that at least recognize that and trying to figure out ways to collaborate and look at the bigger picture.
How about motivate instead of collaborate?
Yeah. I did. I used
You know how cattle prods tend to work a little bit more better than just a stick?
Yeah, let's, the hot shots.
Yeah, let's get a little something going here, guys, instead of meeting and meeting and meeting.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, it's a very, there's a lot to that, though, right? I mean, so you have everything from your health care to your roads to law enforcement. The housing is always going to be an issue, and even more so. I mean, this is kind of an interesting stat that I heard the other day. So there's just a tick over 200 homes for sale in Humboldt, which for the last probably year, that's been pretty consistent. But of those, 36 were over $1 million.
And yeah, and it's cool. Some of those are selling.
Oh, they absolutely are.
Which is kind of, I mean, obviously that's new blood coming into town.
Yeah, I mean, And so, but that continues to drive our housing market up. And we're already a pretty high housing market to start with. And so until we start getting more housing built, then, you know, that's going to be a big problem. So as these other things that are coming on board that you cited, because those are all really amazing things, right, in terms of from an economic boom to our area. But, yeah, we definitely have to have the infrastructure to support it.
And the attitude to support it, too.
Yeah. Yep.
Maybe we don't need the big lots anymore. We can have some small lots.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts to consider as the day progresses. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me, Brian. Always good to see you.
See you right tomorrow.